Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry we had a little difficulty this morning connecting, but we just want to give God glory and honor and praise because of all that he's done, all that he is to us. Lord, we just give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Good morning. It's a wonderful day. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's a wonderful day. I am great, and I'm just thinking down in my soul, hallelujah, thinking about, as that song was playing, the old song we used to sing, that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul just cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I just thank God for this day and just to be in this walk and just to know that I am his and he's mine. And that in itself just makes it a great day. And I guess the bottom line is I'm just blessed and I'm happy and just glad to be with you all this morning.
Amen, amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will be glad. And hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited today, as in every Saturday. So excited for the guest that we have today, Ms. Charlene Davidson. She is, I don't know her personally, but I met her through a relative of mine, and she has an exciting testimony for us of just what the Lord is still doing. Some say that the Lord is not still saving, that the Lord is not still, well, not still saving, they say he's still saving, but not still delivering and not still healing and not still raising up. Hallelujah. But we have a woman of God today that is going to just give us an awesome testimony of just what God is doing. And before we get started, let me just say that we are under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministries, where the evangelist Adrian Bernard is the host, and I say the pastor. She has been doing this for over a year now, and many people are being blessed by her ministry. She's on every day, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time, which is the time zone that I'm in. And tune in, if you get a chance, tune in and listen to, she has some awesome men and women of God that are explaining the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. So just tune in to that. And if any of our listeners, if you don't want to call in, but you have a testimony, a burning testimony that you want to give for the Lord, send it to us through our email, and we will read your testimony over the air. And that email address is theyovercame2013@gmail.com. It's theyovercame 2013, those are numbers, @gmail.com. And we just want to open up the program with a word of prayer. Honey, can you give us a word of prayer to open up our, before we get our exciting program going today?
It would be my pleasure. Let us all just look to God right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this another day that you have made. In it, we rejoice and we are glad, because you are the God of our salvation. You are the God of our every need, the supplier of everything that we need according to your riches and glory. There is no worry. There is no fear. There is no stress. Hallelujah. because we rest in you, and we just praise you and honor you for that. We thank you, Lord God, for every listener that is a part of this broadcast today, every participant in this broadcast today. We just thank you, Lord, and we pray your blessings. We pray your anointing. We pray that your will be done. We thank you for what has already transpired on this ministry all week under Evangelist Bernard, how we've been hearing and learning of defending and contending for the faith. And we just thank you because even this segment today will further that by just encouraging the faith of the saints,
yeah,
because of the testimonies of how good you have been to us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for every testimony that's going forth that will just magnify your name and edify every listener. In the name of Jesus, let it be anointed. Hallelujah. Let the words be encouragement. Let them be healing. Let them be, hallelujah, just what someone needs to hear. And because you know, Lord God, everything that we need, you know what everyone is going through, you know what we're going to go through, and you have put people in this kingdom for such,
yes,
a time,
Lord,
as this. Even our speaker today, Lord God, hallelujah, we thank you for her and how she will just bless your people. Let there just be anointing. Let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let there be healing of relationships, homes, marriages, hallelujah, finances, bodies, diseases.
Yes.
Lord God, let your word go forth and not come back void. That's according to your word. We receive that promise. We walk in that thing. We count it as done. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, honey, for that prayer. And like I said, I am so excited about our guest. We had the opportunity to speak this week for Sister Adrienne, and it was such a blessing. And the topic was contending for the faith. This young lady that is going to be our guest today, she is one that is contending for the faith, and God is being glorified by her testimony and by her living a life. And to me, that's what contending for the faith is. It's not always doctrinal, but it is the life that we live. It is the representation of Christ in the earth. That's what we're here for, to represent him, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouthpiece. And this young lady, like I said, I don't know her personally, but from what the little conversation that we've had and what I was told by my relative about her, is contending for the faith. And so I am going to bring Miss Charlene Davis on right now. And 705, is this you, Miss Davis? Hello? Okay, that's not her. Just keep holding on, 705, though. We'll give her another few minutes. I'm looking at my cell phone, and she said that she's on, but I don't see her number. So if you can hear me.
Amen. God bless everybody. Just thank God for. Huh? Not hearing me?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. The devil is a lie, and God will be glorified today. We are experiencing. I have a lot of problems with my cell phone today. Seems to be one of those times that I'm going to have some problems, but I bind the devil now in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over this phone. I plead the blood over the airwaves. In the name of Jesus, we bind your hand. We cancel your assignment now in Jesus' name. And we say, God will be glorified this day on this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just got to talking to my guest. Can you hear me, honey? Can you hear me, honey?
Yes. God be glorified. Okay. We are back.
Okay. I just want to know if you hear me. Okay, because I can't. It's like I have dead air. But anyway, I'm waiting for her to call in again. But like I said, we were blessed this week to be able to speak for Evangelist Adrian and talking about contending for the faith, and I heard a lot of great speakers on this topic. And if you care to, you can go to our archives and listen to the broadcast. Honey, I'm gonna ask you to do a little hosting for me. Like I'm gonna try to call our guest back. Okay, honey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Amen. Amen. And we just thank God for, first of all, just who he is and his power, and that there is, as the word said, no weapon that is formed against us that shall be able to prosper. So the assignment of the enemy has been canceled, and we just thank God for what our ears are about to hear, because we know that there is an anointing in what God has to say to the church, and he is speaking to us right now. We know that we are in days that are filled with pressure and stresses and just all kinds of tests and tribulations and trials that the saints are going through, everyone is going through, but the saints as well. But we just thank God for knowing that we have a hope. We have hope in him, and if we just trust in the Lord, we know that there is no weapon that's formed against us that can prosper. We just thank God for the testimonies that have gone forth, and as my wife was saying, that I haven't been able to hear the broadcasts that have gone forth this week, but just that subject is a blessing, contending for the faith. Because we know that these are the times that what Satan will try to do is just shake our faith. But we just have to hold on to our faith. Faith in God and that system, that belief that we have about his word and who he is and our relationship with him and who we are in him. And we just
Amen.
Thank God for how God's going to bless us today with more of that faith-building testimonies.
Okay. Thank you, honey. I see that our guest is on the line, and I apologize again for the difficulty that we're having today, but the devil is a lie, and God will be glorified.
The devil
and
is a lie.
Miss Charlene, how are you today?
Oh, I am actually excited to glorify the Lord. How are
hey,
you?
I am blessed. I am blessed, and I'm so happy that we were able to connect. I don't know, we were having even at the beginning, but the Lord, the devil doesn't want this to go out over the airways, but the devil is a lie. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And I'm so glad now that we are able to connect. And this is Miss Charlene's sister, Charlene Davis. And I haven't met you personally, but just in talking to you, I see the fire and the love of God. And I was just telling the radio listeners as we were trying to connect, that you have an awesome, awesome, awesome testimony. And we were connected together by my cousin and a friend of yours, Derek White,
yes,
who will be a guest on one Saturday when he's free to come on Saturdays. And I understand not being able to come on Saturdays sometimes when I was working. Saturdays I couldn't come on, but bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I'm able to be on now, and it's such a blessing. And Ms. Charlene, tell us a little, before you give your testimony, just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, where you're from, not getting into your testimony, but just where you were raised, and you know just give us a little bit about yourself before you give us your testimony.
All right. Well, my name is Charlene Davis, and I was born in Chicago, Illinois, at Cook County Hospital.
That's my hometown.
Yes, ma'am. And I was raised in a little town called Summit, Argo. You know, it was a little small community, a very small community, and it was actually a beautiful community during that time. I have one child. His name is Charles Davis. I have two grandchildren, and there's four sisters and one brother.
Amen, amen.
Yeah, it was.
I've never heard of that city.
Yes, it was a beautiful community when I was coming up at that age. That's when you was able to go outside and play and just do all kind of things that you're not able to do today though. But during that time, it was awesome.
Okay. Amen. Now, where is that located?
It's like 63rd and Archer.
Oh, the west side.
That's southwest.
Okay.
It's actually southwest.
Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amen. I guess because I've been away now, because I grew up in Chicago, and I lived in the Chatham area of Chicago, for any of my listeners that are familiar with the Chicagoland area, and then later went to the Auburn area. And unlike other places, I'm finding now that I live south that they don't call them suburbs, they call them cities, and we would call cities too, but we refer to them as suburbs. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just so happy to get myself together. So happy that you could join us today, and your testimony is one that I feel like the listeners need to hear. I put a clarion call out on Facebook for anyone that wanted to join us that just needed to hear about the delivering God, because God has been, among other things in your life, he's been a great deliverer. And some people think that God is still not in the business that he was in when he first, you know, when the world was formed. But you can tell us for yourself that he's still in the saving, delivering, business. Charlene, just give us your testimony. Just give us what God has done for you.
Okay.
Start from the beginning to the end, okay? Well, the end
yes.
is not here, but from the beginning.
First thing I like to do is give God the glory and decrease so that He might increase.
Amen. If you want to, say a word of prayer,
I'm actually, you know, I'm just so grateful and thankful. I have to glorify Him and tell Him because God says that anyone that thirsts for Him, you know, come ye to the waters and incline your ear, and He would give you life, and that's exactly what He's done. And I just give Him the praise and the glory, and I ask that He speak through me.
Amen.
All right. My name is Charlene Davis once again, and I was born to Lana and Charles Davis. I'm the second daughter. I'm the second oldest of their four children. I can't very much remember a lot about when I was small because if I say what I remember, the first thing that I remember is waking up one morning, one day, and looking around and wondering where I was. That's the beginning where my life begins for me because I know that it wasn't my mother I was looking at, but I was looking at this dark-skinned woman who was trying to console me. And I know she wasn't my mom. So actually, her name ended up being Helen Colbert. She was married to my mom's father. He had remarried. And I woke up and they had me, you know, and I can remember looking at her and crying. And for some reason, whatever had happened before then, it is a blank in my mind. You know, I used to wonder why that blank was there why that part of my life is erased. But as I come to know Helen and as she began to comfort me, and she became my mom in my life. And she was one of the greatest, you know, she was the greatest. She was the protecting mother, the good mom that raised you, and you had the morals and everything. And all of a sudden, my real mom, she really just kind of wasn't there and wasn't in my mind anymore. And I was happy with what I had, you know.
Awesome.
She kept me up until the time I was 11, my grandfather, and I was so thankful for them and what they did in my life. But by the age of 11, I went to stay with my real mom.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard curse words. I had never heard anything that wasn't wrong. I went to church, you know. I ain't paid no attention, but I went to church to play. That's what we did. And, you know, I went to school and, you know, never got whoopings. If I did, it was with a cloth belt or something, but it was two different worlds I was about to encounter in my life, and I did. I moved to the projects with my mom, and I can remember that, man, she was the most beautiful woman. My mom was ultimately a beautiful woman, and she worked. She worked in these clubs. She worked in the clubs, and I was still kind of real quiet and shy, and I guess she used to call me spoiled because she used to say, "You are so spoiled." And I was spoiled because I was the only child, and Helen couldn't have, by her not being able to have any children, you know, I was her ultimate dream. You know, God had given her a child. But my mom was the type of mom that really didn't communicate with her children as far as what we felt, you know, the hugs, the love, and, you know, all that, because I guess she was just busy into her own thing, but I didn't understand it because I had been raised different. And as I stayed there and I grew, she had, she worked in the evenings. She had several different babysitters who used to babysit us. And she had this one babysitter, well, it was actually her boyfriend. She had one boyfriend. And I was 11 years old, and at the age of 11, this man began to molest me. He molested me for a long time. He put that fear in me of what he would do if I told anybody and everything. So I kept quiet. I kept very quiet, and I didn't want to tell anybody what was going on in my life. And I had this little sister that was upstairs who was like 2.5 years or maybe 3 younger than me. And I thought that if he did what he did to me, that he would never, ever be able to touch her. So there was nothing I could do anyway. He had his way. I can't describe the fear that I felt, the discomfort that I felt, because I'm only a baby myself, you know. I don't know what he's doing to me, but I know what he's doing to me. It hurts, and it's not right. And so I locked myself up into this shell, and you know, I became very I was very dysfunctional then because I acted out. I acted out in many ways. I came into the shelter where I would just become evil. I become evil very young. I would go to school and put kids in the garbage cans, cut their hair off, or, you know, I wouldn't do nothing that the teacher told me or anything. And, you know, I wanted to tell this secret, but I couldn't tell this secret because I was so scared of what he was going to do to others. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as the years progressed and he disappeared, we had other babysitters, you know, and you know, majority of our babysitters were young guys that, you know, my house was a hangout. My mom's house was a hangout. Bad. So, you know, you have them kissing you and touching you, and, you know, I just became disobedient, you know, I just became mad. But, you know, it comes to the point to where as I did tell, you know, a little later, you know, for the simple fact, I thought he was going to hurt my sister, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't believed. They didn't believe me, you know. Somehow it became my fault, and I was very, very hurt and angry. I didn't understand that, you know, because all I know is that you could, you know, I felt that that's all a person does is protect their children. You know, that's all that I knew was nobody's here to help me. So as the years progress, I'm going up by the age of 15, my mom can't do pretty much nothing with me. I'm angry at her, and I'm angry at everybody, and I'm not doing anything you tell me to do, and I'm promiscuous by now. You know, I think it's okay. You know, you know, why not? You know, and I became pregnant at the age of 15. A baby having a baby. By then, I had quit school. I was no longer going to school, high school, and I didn't know how to take care of a baby. I didn't know how to do anything. I just knew that if I had this little boy, you know, it was a boy. I knew it was going to be a boy. If I had this baby, it was mad. It would love me, and it would be the most magnificent thing that nobody could take away from me, and that's how I felt. So I have my son, but it doesn't work like that. You know, I find that I was sort of like my mom. You know, I would leave him here and go off, and I want to go play, I want to go party, I want to do everything that everybody else does at my age, but they didn't have a baby, and I did.
Mm.
So eventually, my mom ends up having my baby, my mom and Percy. They take my son for me, and she begins to raise my son. By the age of 18, I get married to a guy from my town, and it doesn't last long, you know, it doesn't last long, but we moved along to Oklahoma, and I had my son, and I raised my son, but I am so used to being hurt. I am so used to pain by now. I am so used to being called worthless and that I ain't gonna never amount to nothing and that, you know, I'm so used to things being said to me to where by this time I'm believing it. Anything you tell me, you know, well, this is just how I'm made to be. That's how I used to look at it. This is just how God made me to be. I'm just not gonna amount to anything. So my husband gets another girl pregnant, and I leave him. By this time, I ran into your cousin Derek. I'm no longer living in Summit, but I'm living in Maywood, and life began to change because it was a different lifestyle. You know, I'm still not yet into the drug scene or any of that, but now this is where my life begins to spiral. You know, I must say that I had not known the fast life, but I know that, you know, I had girlfriends I had met, which is still one of my best friend Stephanie. I had people I had met, and we were hanging out and doing the clubs, but I was getting to drink. Remember that drink? I remember that first drink that I took. That drink made me feel invincible. It made me feel like I could conquer anything. And it also made me forget a lot of things. So I drank. And we were partying, and we were drinking. I can remember people telling me, man, you need to quit drinking because the drinking made me wild. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like I was on top of the world, you know, with this alcohol thing going on. I could say things that I was never able to say. I could fight you back, you know. It was never nothing positive. It was always something destructive. But for me, it became like, you know, well, I can curse you out. I can, you know, I can fight you. I can protect myself. I can, you know, I cannot feel my pain. And I was like, I liked it. But I became destructive. I can remember, okay, we going on past this here, and I can remember the first time I went to this club called the Tupelo. I go to the Tupelo, and when we leave out of the Tupelo, I can remember this plate, this little thing, handed to me with cocaine on it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I can remember that first snort right now, and I took that first snort. When I took that first snort, it was like it was a high that I had. It overrode the alcohol. It overrode everything, and I was like, I like that. I like the feeling that it gave me, the reaction. It made me feel actually sexy. It made me feel like just numb on the inside, you know. But it also it quiet me from being obnoxious like the alcohol did, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I went for a long time after that. I was hooked that very first snort. I was hooked. I wanted more of that. I didn't know how to acquire more of it or how to get more of it because I had never seen it before. But it doesn't take long for an addict to find it. So as it goes on, I don't think I got quite hooked until a little later on. I can remember when I was introduced to, it was probably a little group of us. I would go to work. I would come home. I would follow, my friend to work. And he introduced me to these people, some friends of his who became friends of mine. And I liked it, what these girls were wearing, Renee and John. I liked the way that they lived. They was like, they had it going on. And I was like, I told them, I said, I want to live like that. I want the coats and I want the, we already had the car, but I wanted the coats and I wanted the money that they had and all of that. And I can remember him telling me no. And I can remember, yeah, well, I want that. And eventually we began to sell drugs. We began to sell drugs, and I used to take a ride from where I lived in Oak Park all the way down across to down to the Bennett Inn where Rush Street and stuff was, to get down there every day to sit with these women. And we would literally sit on the floor and play games and snort up, just maybe 8 balls of cocaine, just wanted to get high. But the thing about it is, it the feeling had me happy. I had the clothes now. I had, I had the cars. The money was coming in and everything. And I thought that was the life. But meantime, I'm shoving these feelings that's going on. These feelings, they're not arising in me. They're laying dormant in me. The past is the past, is what I thought. And I began to, I liked the life. But, of course, it lasted for a long time. We moved, got our own apartment, and I don't think the guys, it's just a clique of us. We would do parties together, whatever. None of them knew that we began to smoke inside of a cigarette. They teaching me how to smoke inside of a cigarette. Now this rush right here was bigger. Every time that I progressed from one drug to another one, it became better. It tasted better. It made me feel better. But I was sneaking doing this. I wasn't letting it known that I was doing this, and neither was she letting it know, being known that I was doing this drug. And every now and then, when I wasn't without the drug, my past would come up. And it would begin to haunt me. I began to be very angry. I had no control of my thoughts nor my feelings. And, now I am an addict, but I don't know I'm an addict. I think there's nothing wrong, but people are telling me that, you need to stop. You need to slow down. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't. Everything is a blame game when you're doing these drugs. You blame everybody. You see everything wrong, but you don't see yourself in it. And I never seen myself. I thought that, I can handle this. You just mad because you don't have it. And when you have that drugs and that money, everybody becomes your friend. You have these friends that, that you think are friends. You have people, I'm passing out drugs, I'm passing out money. And eventually, my friend didn't like me getting high like that anymore, but I couldn't stop. The ball was rolling in. I had no control over what I was feeling inside of me. So I began to steal even from my house. I was going to pocket, steal $100. I was still wanting 8 balls. I began to steal, something I had never done before. But yet, in my madness, I'm not seeing that I'm doing that. I'm figuring that you owe me this. And I'm also getting angry because along with that gang came other women, you know, other people come in, and I'm like, I'm already got issues going on, but and I'm looking for love, but I'm looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. I don't really know what love is, but all I know is I want to be loved. I know it's a good person somewhere deep down inside that. So I would, you know, I would clean up. I would do whatever it took to try to make you happy. And I pretty much say I was a good woman. But here we go again. Here come the women, and here come the staying out all night, and here I'm going up all night, and eventually everything is falling apart, and I'm not understanding it, and I'm hurting again. I kept hurting me, you know. I'm hurting again. So I still don't see me, but I see all that you're doing, all the pain that you're causing me. And I could say that, being real honest, that, you know, to me that was the most beautiful relationship that I had ever really wanted. That was a relationship that I wanted in my life. You know, I did not want to let go. But and to let go was hard, and I didn't know how to accept it when it was over with. And I began to continue to go up north, and one day I just seen the pipe, how to, you know, I learned how to smoke. I remember that first hit off the pipe, and when I began to smoke that pipe,
Now, what are you smoking? What are you smoking?
I'm smoking cocaine. I'm not smoking crack. Crack is not on the scene right now. I'm smoking cocaine. I'm cooking it with Ethan. I'm doing everything. I'm stealing. I'm mad as hell. I don't like nothing and nothing in my path. I'm feeling like, you know, I have been betrayed and deceived, and that, you know, that something that belonged to me has been taken from me. That's exactly what I'm feeling. And all I know is when I took that hit off that pipe, that I didn't feel anything anymore. I felt that I was on top of the moon, you know. I thought I was numb at each stage from the alcohol to then. I thought each time that I tried this new drug that I was invincible, but this time I wasn't feeling like that. I was feeling really hurt, a hurt that surpassed all the other hurts. So all I wanted to do was not feel it, and I began to smoke cocaine. I began to sneak and smoke cocaine. Eventually, I started stealing for it because I couldn't get my hands on it. So I was actually, now I'm breaking in the cars and stealing. You know, I'm going all the way back up north where I learned how to do it, and I'm breaking these people's cars. I'm becoming a thief. I'm robbing. I even robbed a place, you know. Because I wanted to have this drug. I wanted these feelings to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. I wasn't understanding why, you know, I was being his, why I was being dealt these hands, you know, in life. So, my relationship ended, totally ended, and all I wanted to do was not feel anything. By then, people calling me up, you know, the same people that I'm selling these drugs to. I just sold all the homes that I'm destroying out there, and the families that I'm destroying. I became just like them. I began to use our own supply. All I wanted to do was be high. And I'm sitting at these tables. I'm ducking and I'm dodging, trying not to be seen or caught. Telling myself that I'm not like them, you know. I just don't want to feel, but I was like them. You know, I was calling it that spiral. Now, this is a spiral that this drug took me down through there for from that moment till, guess what, I stayed on drugs up until the point till a year and a half ago, then a year and a half ago. I stole, like I said. I hated everything in my path. I hated myself. You know, people were calling me crackheads, which, you know, I did anything and everything it was to get that drug eventually. By now, I'm smoking crack. I'm being beat up by men and, you know, not even trying to be stabbed by people. And if you turn your back, I'm taking what you got, you know. If you try to help me, I cuss you out and I blame it on you and it's your fault. I'm angry at everything that I touched and I ever loved because I'm feeling like you never gave me back. You never, you know, you never, I felt deceived. You know, I felt betrayed by everything and everybody I did. I forgot about everything that meant anything. The one thing that meant anything to me was my son. I loved my son with all my heart, but I was on this spiral and I could not stop. I can remember what hurt me the most was when he felt like I had given him away and that I didn't love him. And actually, someone was telling him that, and it wasn't true, you know. It's just that I just couldn't stop, you know. Now, the one thing that I did have that loved me, he didn't love me no more, you know. So I felt like I had been stripped of everything. I would actually go into treatment. I would go into different treatment centers, and I would be searching for help. And each time that I would go into treatment centers, I somehow, some reason, I didn't know then why, but I would always pick a Christian place to go. And I can remember, you know, that even in the places that I went, I was being seduced even then by what you call Christian people, Christian men, somebody in that church. You know, I would go searching for God. I would go searching to be clean, and something would, you know, the devil is everywhere. You know, something would happen. Oh, yeah. And, ma'am?
I was just saying, yeah, that's true. My bishop that was on Sister Adrienne's program was talking about in Jude how men have crept in unaware. We didn't know that they were there because they were saying what we were saying and they were doing what we were doing, but they were living to do what men were doing to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Go on.
Well, I would go in and I would search, and you know, when I think about how cunning this thing is and how baffling this thing is and deceitful, because I would wholeheartedly, I didn't want to be like that. I would wholeheartedly, like, you know, well, maybe this time it won't happen. You know, maybe this time it won't happen. But, you know, even when you walk through treatments and you know, or through these, you know, some of these churches that I was going through and being led, and instead of being led, being laid was devastating. So it drew me further away, You know, I really don't have any trust. You know, I'm so mad at God. I don't know what to do. You know, and then I'm wondering why he. You know, I'm like, well, you know, why come? I had made up in my sick mind that, you know what, God just made me like this. He, some people he take care of and love, and some people he don't. You know, and I'm just made to be like this. And so I go back to the streets. You know, now, people are always, you know, it was somebody here always telling me, well, why you like this, or why you like that there, or why you can't quit this here, or why you can't quit that there, or look at her. You know, always something down, never a word of encouragement. Never something to lift you up, but to tear you down. And so I lived like that. You know, I felt that. You know, I just could not find my way out, even though I wanted to find my way out. You know, nobody could tell exactly what was going on inside of me, those feelings that were there, the things that had happened to me to make me like that, to feel like that. You know, this world could be a very judgmental place. You know, but it was always a little tinkle inside of me that, and I know it's got to be another way out of this hell. So I spent exactly, I was in my 20s when I started. I was 53. I would try to stop, but I could not stop. In the meantime, I was beaten. You know, I was raped, I was stabbed, I did a lot of things, you know. I would hurt you before you could hurt me. I became in that protective mode of my territory, of me. I wanted to die, but I didn't want to die. It was a shame, it was a guilt, you know, it was a remorse, it was the anger, all of it raging inside of me, and it became rooted, like, in my belly for years and years and years and years and years and years. And I always had somebody asking me why I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop because I was in that cycle. You know, so God began to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know, doors began to close because I had taken and stole from everybody, so anybody want me in the house no more. Or I found myself sleeping in these crack houses, and, you know, even my son, you know, he had got to the point to where he was cussing me out because I would hurt people, you know. I had hurt him.
Right.
You know, I had hurt him. So bad because, you know, every child loves their mother, but, you know,
yes.
People hurt people. And, you know, it was the shame and the guilt, and, you know, and I just couldn't stop. I wanted to stop. I wanted to stop everybody's pain, but, you know, they didn't, you know, nobody, if you don't have any information on these things of drugs, of, you know, it was the words that they would say, you just an old crackhead, or you just sit here, and you just, you know, I heard so much of that. You're never going to amount to nothing. You know, why can't you stop this thing or whatever, you know? And really, what I wanted to say is I want to, I just don't know how. But they didn't understand that. Nobody understood that. And, you know, I can remember one time I went to my dad's house. You know, because my dad, I'm going to back up a little bit. My dad, when I was small, he was a part of my life until he'd be married. And I can remember I knocked on his door because, see, somehow, some way, I always wanted to be protected, you know. And I know it came from that first thing when I was 11, you know, when I was being molested. But I always wanted to be protected by men. I needed the comfort of men. They were just a big addiction as the crack. You know, it's got to be somebody who's going to love me, protect me, and not going to let me be hurt. And so I went to my dad one time, and I knocked on his door. And this is the only time that I can remember who I really, truly, truly, in my heart, wanted to get sober. But I needed $100 for it. And the lady went with me, and I knocked on the door, and I asked him, and he slammed the door in my face. That's the one time I ever really wanted to be clean, and thought I could make it if he would just stood by my side and he slammed the door in my face. I took that with me all my life. I can always still to this day hear that door slam. So I'm searching, and I don't know what to do, you know. And I don't know that it's me, you know. I don't know it's me. Everything is you. You wrong me, you know what I'm saying? Everything is you. You know, you don't understand me. And I'm on this cycle. I'm in this whirlwind. Finally, when the doors began to shut on me, I was in Summit, and God began to do for me what I couldn't do on myself. I mean, I'm in these abandoned places, and no running water, I ain't changing my clothes regularly. I'm crying. I don't want to be here, but I don't know how to get out. I really don't know how to get out. You know, I'm not selling anything because I'm the best smoker it is. I'm off the street. It wasn't nothing, It wasn't nothing pretty. So the guy I'm living with by now, he leaves me, and I have nowhere to go. I end up moving to Little Rock, Arkansas. Somehow I knew in my head that God was closing the door, but I'm still angry at him, But I knew God was beginning to close doors on me. So I end up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I bucked all the way. I cried all the way. I didn't want to be here because I don't know nobody here, how I'm going to get my drug here. You know what I'm saying? And what is going to happen here to me? All I know is in Chicago, and I know how to survive there, but I don't know how to survive here. But I had no choice because when he moves you, he moves. And I got here, and by then I got some family here. We still destructive. We still dysfunctional, it's still dysfunctional, but things began. I came here and I moved into a battered women's shelter, and I lived there and I hated it. I felt like, why am I here in this shelter, and I got all these people and I got all this family, and I just felt that I was at the lowest of the lowest. That's what I felt, but not yet. But things began to look better for me. I began to pray a little bit, and I kind of cleaned myself up a little bit and got a little job and finally got my own place. And was part of myself, but deep down inside, I was so lonely and I was so hurt, and I needed to talk, And that's when I began to talk to God. Not much, but a little, I lasted about a year, I went back to Chicago and I visited my son, and I came on back, but when I got back, the ultimate thing happened. I came home and there was a note on my door. I was losing my apartment. But I wasn't losing my income because my rent was paid. All the bills in the house was paid because, see, I was working. I was still doing something. But I had met this young guy who was a nut, or whatever. Anyway, I got you know, I was getting high one day. We were getting high. I was so disgusted because I'm packing my stuff. I'm about to lose this hair, but I'm like my red peg, God. I'm talking to you a little bit, but now I'm actually talking to him more because I want to know why. You know, what's happening now? When is this going to stop? And I get raped and beat. Beat so bad my head looked like a watermelon. But for the first time, when he was trying to rape me, just put it like this, he was trying to rape me because I had just got to the point to where I you know what, I don't want to get high. I don't want to do anything. All I want you to do is get away from me. Everybody, you know, I just want you to leave or whatever. Well, he comes back and he's high and he's not, you know, he ain't trying to hear it or whatever. And for the first time, when he tried to put his hands on me, I got some strength to fight back. You know, and I'm like, this thing is going to end. It's going to end here now. You know, I took a beating, but he didn't have me. But somehow it seemed like that fight lasted for a whole 2 hours or whatever, but God gave me strength to fight back. For the first time, I said, that's it. Nobody ever going to touch me again, you know, without my permission. You know, I'm through with this thing. I ended up in the hospital, you know, for a few days, and I lost my place. But then I got to stay with my folks, but they're not kind of nice about it, you know. And, you know, everybody wants their own space. A long story short, I ended up standing in this apartment with this guy, you know, who was nice enough to let me stay there, but he was still getting high, and he was still doing his thing. But I'm still finding myself, you know, the foxhole prayers that we're saying, I'm praying, you know, Lord. You know, I'm watching myself run up and down his hallways because I don't know if the people going to show up where he's living and they're going to put me out. And, you know, here again, these doors are closed in on me, and I just don't know which way I'm going or what's about to happen to my life. I just know that God, you know, had me and him were having a conversation a little bit more. I was starting to surrender. I was beginning to surrender. And I guess the guy's living where he showed up one day, and I have been getting so high. We had spent about $800 or so, and I was so high, but I was so tired. I was so tired that I knew that it has to be something, Lord, to change this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, help me to deal with these feelings that's going on inside of me. And it was a knock on the door because my mom was downstairs, and Praise the Lord. There's a knock on the door, and I can hear him and my mom in there whispering. She's like, you tell her. I'm like, tell me what? You know, and my best friend, you know, I had a best friend. Her name was Yolanda Goodall. I was her soul. Her and, you know, I have another friend, Rise, and these people never ever judged me. These people loved me unconditionally, no matter what I did. She, you know, no matter through our struggles or whatever, she was the one person who stuck by me through thick and thin. Never seen me as anything but who I was. She would talk to me, she would gently talk to me, but she would leave me to do me, you know. And the call was that I had been talking to her a few times on the phone prior to stuff that was going on in her life. And her life had, you know, by then her life had changed, you know, no matter what we've been through, you know, or drinking or drugging or whatever, We never did that together. You know, her life had changed, and she was helping other women, you know. And I got a phone call that, and I could hear them in the living room, you know, where, tell me what. And so they told me that, she died in a car accident. And she, and I didn't want to believe it, and I was asking, who are you talking about? Not my Yolanda. And he said, yeah. And to this day, I must have said she must have tapped God on the shoulder and said, don't leave out there like that, Lord. And at that very moment,
back, Lord, to God.
At that very moment, the one person who understood me, the one person who never said anything bad about me, but just loved me for who I was gone. I had smoked about $800 worth of crack. I didn't have nowhere to go. I didn't like the man or nobody else that was around me. I didn't like the life. And I began to say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
And I began to surrender. I surrendered myself to God. And I began to ask him to help me with everything that I had inside of me.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't describe really what happened then. I just know that I had an out-of-body experience. That God entered in. And I can remember my stomach hurting so bad. My stomach was hurting so bad. I can remember hollering and screaming, my stomach, like I was birthing a baby. And I can remember my heart just beating so fast. But I'm telling you, I'm crying with God. I'm in the presence of God right now. And I can literally see, you know, feel God's hands go inside of my heart because it was so much rooted down in there, so much pain, so much hurt, so much misunderstanding. And I began to ask him to remove it, to help me.
Yes, Lord.
And I literally could feel God's hand in my heart ripping things out. You know, I'm in the spirit. I'm in the spirit, and I am with God. But I can feel him tearing out the anger, tearing out the hurt, tearing out the pain. He was delivering me. He was delivering me. The person who was witnessing this says they tried to move their body, but they couldn't move toward me. He wouldn't let nobody move to help. And I don't know how long it lasted, but it lasted for a while. And when I got up, when it was finally over with, I know I had been with God. I know that I wasn't the same. And I told the person, I said, it's over with. I can, you know, because I heard God tell me 2 days. I kept hearing these 2 days, 2 days, 2 days. He gave me 2 days to pack my stuff and to get up, get together what I could and leave.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, God said 2 days. So what we did, what I did was we opened up the apartment. We gave everything away that was in there that I owned. Only what we could pack and carry. I don't know where I'm going, how I'm going, but I know he's leading me. And I know he gave me 2 days to get there. So we get in the car. I'm calling the rehab. I'm calling different places. I'm looking for some kind of help, some kind of way, and nobody's answering. you know, I'm going here, but I'm still in this car and I'm still following this force because I know now that there's a God. I know that there's a God. So I get in the car, and I never forget when I went to the first place and they turned me down, and I got back in the car and I said, "Well, we're going back to the apartment or whatever." And God said, It came out, and I know it wasn't me speaking. It was him. It's turned the car back around. And they looked at me, and we turned the car back around. Anyway, I drove to Little Rock. He drove to Little Rock. We get to Little Rock, and nobody's still asking. Everybody's still full. I still don't know where I'm going to go or what's going to happen to me. And we stop at the VA up here, and we're looking for some sandwiches, for something to eat. Right now, we're looking for something to eat. We love food. We love everything. We just, what we had and what we carry in the bag, that's all we love for it. And I see a little chapel, and I stop in that chapel. And I say, "While you get the food, I'm going to go in here and pray." And I said this one little simple prayer. I said, "Lord, I know it was you, and I'm here right now. I say, so you need to do something. You need to open up some doors. You need to show me which way to go." And I turn around and put my hands on the doorknob, and when I put my hands on the doorknob, my phone rang. And I can hear this lady's voice say, "I'd like to speak to Charlene." And I said, "It's me." She said, "Where are you at?" And I just looked up to him, and I smiled. For the first time, I smiled. I had found my best friend. I had found my best friend. He had heard my cry. And I said, "I'm here." And she said, "Well, this is RCA of Little Rock." And she said, "Come on." And I was like, wow. See, God had shown me signs. And he operated on me. He had to show me. You know, he had to show me, you know, and let me know and do some miraculous things to let me know that he was here and he was with me.
Yes, Lord.
And he did those things. From that moment on, I've never had the taste. I never had the desire.
Hallelujah.
I've never had the struggle. I've never had to wonder. Everything, he delivered me on the spot.
Thank you, Jesus.
That light, you know, that light that they talk about, I seen a light, you know. He took it. He just took it all. He took it all. He took everything, you know. He took the pain. He took the anger, you know. He took the resentments. He just took it all. I was no longer that same girl that was on that floor. I was a new creation in God, for real. So I've been here ever since that day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. My life has taken a new course. I am a new creation in God. I have been born again. I live at this place called, I went through treatment. I spent 30 days there. I was so on fire for God. I was so curious. I wanted to know everything about it, everything that you had to give. Listen, I was so thirsty, you know. I know that struggle was over with for me. And I met these incredible people. And, you know, people like this don't exist. Those people that I have been talking about in their testimony that I couldn't find, I found. And I'm like, these people over here are getting clean and sober, and these people are hugging on me and kissing on me and loving on me and giving me stuff, and they're not calling me names and talking about me. And oh my God, they used to be an addict like me. I could not believe it. And I graduated. From there, I left there, and I've been in, I'm in a place called Williamsburg, in Little Rock, Arkansas. I have the most dynamic, beautiful woman who runs this place who was natty just like me. Her name is Miss Kim Blackshaw. I have the most wonderful sponsor. Her name is Laura. She was sitting right next to me right now.
Amen.
I have sisters and brothers and family here that been through the same things that I've been through. And I had never heard about a thing called AA, but AA, God and AA changed my life. I began to know that it was okay to feel like I felt and that I wasn't by myself. I began to know that God's power, that he, you know, his hands was over me through everything that I went through, that he was my protector.
Yes,
that,
Lord.
You know, he was walking me through. I didn't know any of that because I didn't know God, but I know God now, and I'm my personal relationship with him. And I know that I live to serve him, you know, and I live to get his testimony for him, to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And it really
yeah.
wasn't even about me. It wasn't even about me. It was about helping the next one who's struggling, you know. And
hallelujah.
This is such an honor, you know, to go from that to here, to have a testimony. To feel like you're never a mountain, you just wanted to die, to wanting to live and glorify him, glorify his people, you know, and pass this on. This place right here, you know, I like to give thanks to Williamsburg, everybody in Williamsburg, all my sisters and brothers who are listening right now, to my family who is listening right now, but all and you, Miss Betty, I know you're somewhere listening, but I would just like to thank them for being by me and with me and listening to me and walking with me and laughing with me and crying with me. It has been a journey, and it was my journey. It was a journey that God decided that he wanted to take me through. It was hurtful. It was painful. And, you know, all of that, but in the end, he gets the glory.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and I get to see his wonderful work. You know, I was taught through AA about these 12 steps. These 12 steps changed my life. There are people who are out here to help us to walk through this thing. And the thing about summon that I know is that, you know, I look forward to the day I can go back for God, not for me, but to God and to his people and tell them, because I didn't know anything about it until I got here to Arkansas, but, you know, of surrendering this thing over to him. That there is a way out of this madness.
Yes.
You know, and there is one God, and you know that, you know, and I pray that you can find him now in your life. You know, it wasn't easy, and it's still not easy, but it is. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I had to work at what I had to work. I have to work. And I have to work every day. I have to work to change my life. You know, I have to learn. You know, I understand what present yourself to me as a newborn baby means, because I had to learn everything. I had to learn how to live
you know, I had to learn how to love. I had to learn how to forgive, you know. I hurt a lot of people, and I found out that a lot of stuff that happened was nobody but me. My mom did the best that she knew how to do, you know, and I love you. My son, you know, I love you with all my heart. I thank God that, you know, that I forgave people so that people could forgive me. No longer, you know, am I being looked at as that person that I was, but it's the person that I am. And as long as I continue to walk with God, I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is the next right thing.
Yes,
and that's what I have to do today. You know, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes I'm better than other times, but everything in my life has begun to change. You know, I don't do the places, the people, and the same old things. I had to move around. Sometimes it's what we need to do. You know, I have a better understanding of what life is about. I actually, I'm so proud to say I actually don't have to dance to men for nobody else's music but his, because he's my sole provider. He's providing me with my housing. I got a bank account today. You know, I got a roof over my head. I can take care of myself. I'm involved with the church. I'm involved with different ministries, and it's an awesome thing. You know, my life has changed. my life. I really don't know what to say, but
well, you have glorified God today, Charlene. I just thank you for coming on and sharing your awesome testimony. And I know you're not finished. I'm gonna let you finish, but I just, For those that are listening, because we're heard around the world, we're not, you know, this is not something that's just done nationally. This is something that can be heard around the world. And I know that there may be other people out there that have a similar story to yours, because everybody has a different story, but a similar story to yours. And to know that God can take someone through the things that he has taken you through from your early childhood to, you know, there's a notarized speaker in the world today, evangelist Joyce Myers, who has not the same story but was abused from her youth also, and how the Lord is using her to minister. When I see her on television, I'm always in awe when I see the audience that follows her. When they scan the audience and you see those thousands and thousands of women and men that are there whose lives they are touching, you are touching the life today, Ms. Charlene, of people around the world. And people can come on and listen to this. They don't even, if they're not able to, you know, they didn't call in today, but someone will tell someone, and that's how it's done. Someone will tell someone, you know, you need to hear this story. You need to hear what God is doing in the lives. You know, we've lost that. We've lost that, and that's why the Lord gave us this. They overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I'm going to let you continue. I just wanted to impart that you just have blessed me today, and I have more calls on the line that I can see, and I want to give them a chance
just to say a word. I'm going to stop you right now. They
okay.
may have some questions. You know,
okay.
Are you open for questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I know that a lot of these callers are callers that you have asked them to be online. So I just want them to say a word to let you know that they're here, to let you know that they're hearing what you're saying. And I'm going to go to, we have about 20 minutes left, so I'm going to just say a word. Don't try to preach. Don't try to,
yes.
You know, give me a testimony. And you can ask Ms. Charlene for my number, and you can call me, and I will highlight you and let you be a guest on the broadcast if you choose to be. So I'm going to open the line now. 708 is the area code. 0953 is the last four numbers. Are you there, caller? 708, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen, amen. Can we have your name?
My name is Sandra Walker. I am Charlene Davis' auntie.
Amen, amen, amen. Charlene, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
And I just want to thank you for having my niece on and giving her testimony. She has been on a journey, but through it all, I've always told her, God got you. Now
yes.
You got
so
the perfect match. It just don't get no better than having God in your life. He will walk you through everything. He's an awesome God. I just shared with Charlene. He is your deliverer. He is your provider. He is your protector. God is everything. And I just want you to keep on keeping on and keep that relationship with God, and you will never, ever be alone. And I love you very much.
And I love you, too.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you for calling in, Auntie. We thank you for those encouraging words, and we're going to go to the next caller. And this is a 708 is the area code. 2969 are the last four numbers. Are you there, caller? 708-2969. Okay, you don't want to say anything? Hey, man, that's all right. Well, we're glad that you called in today. And we're going to go to the next caller. And this is 501, and the last four numbers are 5775. Are you there, caller? I'm saying wrong. 5775 are the last four numbers. Are you there? Okay. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. You know, some people just don't like to talk, so that's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
But they're here. They're here
yes.
to support you. And the next call is 501, and the last four numbers are 4553. Are you there, caller? Would you like to say something to Charlene today? Okay, you don't want to say anything. Amen. Amen. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. They're calling in. They just want to hear what you had to say.
Yeah.
Next caller is 209, and the last four are 8735. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. This is Adrian.
Oh, amen. This is our host of New Destiny Ministries, and she is the one that has given us the opportunity to have this program, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. She is the woman that God is using in these end times to get the word out, the preached word of God, and I'm so glad that you joined us today, Sister Adrienne. And I know that you sound tired. You've been in church all night, haven't you? Amen. Well, did you want to say something before I go to my next call?
Just that I tell you, just hearing her story, and just, you know, when you hear people talk about what God has done for him and where he's brought him for, it goes to a place where you can identify with maybe not everything that she's gone through, but the trials and the tribulations that God has brought you through. Amen.
Yeah.
So I just commend her and applaud her for that yearning. See, God just doesn't deal with you at one specific time. God always deals with us in our situation. You know, as Bishop Lewis, you know, preached on last night, we were already foreordained. God knew when the acts of your mother and your father get together and to produce this birth, that God already knew the plan that he had for you. But it's a process, and something that we go through is not for us, like you said earlier, Charlene, is for to help somebody else. And
yes.
If we never go
yes.
through it, then we'll never be able to impact others' lives. So it's not about us. It's about those that God have assigned for us to reach. It's about those that God have assigned for us to be a light to. So you had to go through all that you've gone through to get where God is taking you to now. And that's what new destiny is about. That's what destiny is about. It's about mm-hmm. pursuing. It's about sincerely striving to get to that point where you never have to worry about backsliding. You never have to worry
yes.
about turning away. It's a
yes.
progression. Amen. So God has a great destiny in store for you, and a sky is the limit. Sky is
yes.
the limit. If you just continue to give God your all and not live in that past, but
yes.
to God for your future and for your destiny. For your destiny is to bring others
yes.
out of the situation that you have gone through, and let them know that there is a God. And
yes.
in this hour, when you feel like all hope is gone, when you think you're right there at the edge, God will step right on in. God, I bless you today.
Yes.
I just thank God for Minister Burns and what she's doing, and I just want to
yes.
give her a shout out for what she's doing.
Amen.
God gave her this to do on Saturdays, and I just bless the Lord for what she's doing, and we certainly would like for you all to tune in throughout the week and hear the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and
yes.
as long
yes,
as you're
ma'am.
Able to hear the words of faith, the words of life, you'll know that you have a hope in Christ Jesus. So God bless you, Sister Charlene.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much,
yes.
Evangelist, and for joining us this morning. And we're going to go. We have a couple of more callers that I just want to touch on. God bless you, woman of God. 773 is the area code. You know that, Charlene. That's home.
Yes.
8108. Are you there? Are you there, caller? 8108. 773 8108.
Okay, they don't want to say anything either.
Okay.
But amen, amen. You know, last week we had a friend of yours on, and I thought he was going to be on today to call in to listen to you, and that was Brother Daryl Watson. And he was he gave his testimony on last week of how a similar testimony, but we know that God is still in the saving business. We know that God
is
still in the delivering business. And to hear you say that God operated on you.
Yes, he did.
And you felt him taking, hallelujah, things that were destructive in your life, taking those things from you. My God, who, Sister Adrienne always says, who wouldn't want to serve a God like that?
Like that.
Hallelujah. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that?
I was listening to her when she was just speaking, and, you know, actually I asked God, I said, God, if you had a word to say, you know, I asked him a simple question. I said, what kept me there so long? You know, this is Wednesday. I had fasted and I prayed and I said, all right, Lord, I need to hear from you. You know, I need to give a word. And I said something so simple, and it was just like me and you talking. I stayed stuck in the past.
Yeah.
You know, I stay stuck in the past. And, you know, if you don't mind, it is something that a word that I do want to leave before we leave off. And
Definitely.
And this is that love covers a multitude of sins. And I would like for the listeners to remember and to know this, to not be critical of others of what they've been through. You must love what's good and accept what's still under construction. Tell them that the future can be better than the past, and allow the pain of the past to fuel the future with compassion, with some wisdom and some hope. Once you do all the things, you know, we are fueled by the past to fuel, but fuel only works when it's combusted into another form. You just learn from your mistakes. Once you do all that, all things are possible. And we as a people have to show them how to adapt to change. When you get stuck in the past, it's always at the expense of our future. After initial shock is over and all your anger has just been disputed, start making plans, draw closer to God, and start to live again. Don't stay stuck in a stage that was meant to be a process, because this too shall pass. You know, just trust it. And it's easier to say, but, you know, God is here. He's here right now. He's there. And, you know, cry out to him, whatever means it takes. Whatever it takes for you to get there, you know what I'm saying?
He's just waiting.
But it was, you know, those moments of being critical, you know, and being judgmental and all of that. We as a people need to have so much compassion, you know. We need to have a little bit more compassion toward others, you know, in all aspects of life. You know,
yes, because there, but for the grace of God, go I. Your testimony could be my testimony.
Nobody is
above getting around. You know, I too have, you know, a testimony. I smoked marijuana. And I could have gotten caught in the net that you got caught in, but God. So we can't afford to look our noses down at anybody, because it may not be you, but it could be your child.
It could be
That's right.
It could be your brother. It could be your mother.
Right.
You know, so amen, Sister Charlene. And again, I say thank you for coming on and sharing your testimony with us. You know, God is just so good and just so awesome, and it's just an awesome thing. We hear testimonies, and I don't want anybody to think because you don't have Charlene's testimony that your testimony is not needed. We want, and God is doing every day, every second. God is
blessing.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
and God deserves the testimony of people so that other people can hear that he's still in the business. He's still around. He's still doing things. He's still saving people. Hallelujah. Just
hallelujah.
The fact that you were able to get up, hallelujah, out of the Bible says in Psalm, he brought me out of a miry clay. He brought you out of he brought all of us out of a miry clay. Your clay was different from my clay, but it was still clay. Hallelujah.
That's right.
It was still clay. Hallelujah. And I still could have got stuck in it, and I still didn't have to come to God. I don't care how you live your life. If you never looked at a cigarette, if you never saw a joint, if you never heard of crack cocaine, God is still your deliverer. He's still delivering you out of something. Hallelujah. So,
amen.
I praise God. Hallelujah for your testimony, Sister Charlene. I praise him. And I'm going to ask you, hallelujah, to seal this testimony and this program with a word of prayer. But before we do that, I'm going to go on the line again to see if somebody wants to say anything. Your sponsor, you said, is sitting next to you. Was she like?
She done got up. I don't know what she had to do over there. Probably somewhere crying, bless her heart. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to. Nobody answered, so I don't guess that they want to say anything, but. Let me just go through the line again and see if somebody wants to say something, and then I'm going to ask you to seal your testimony with a prayer, and I'm going to go to 708. The last four digits are 0953. Are you there, caller? 708. Okay, that was your aunt, wasn't it? Yes, that's your aunt, so we've already heard from her. Okay, 501-0014. Are you there, caller? 501 is the area code. 0014.
Yes, I'm here.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And can I have your name?
Yes, my name is Robin C. And I just want to thank Charlene for stepping up and doing what she's doing this morning. And I know Charlene personally. She was the lady that was my first roommate at Williamsburg House, she was speaking of. And this is very emotional for me because Charlene instilled things in me about God that I had forgotten about. I'm also a recovering addict, and what Charlene did for me spiritually is something that I never knew I could have. Charlene gave me hope. Charlene gave me hope when I had none. Charlene loved me until I could love myself. And the spiritual journey that I began right there in that room with Charlene. And I want to say thank you, Charlene, and I love you so much.
I love you too. I love you too, Robert.
And Charlene has been an inspiration to me, and she showed me that the way that God is the only way that could bring me above my problems and let me put that addiction behind me and all my problems behind me. And I love God, and it is due to what Charlene did for me. And with that, I will close. I just want to call and say thank you, Charlene, for being Charlene.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sister Robin, for calling in and giving that shout-out to Charlene. I know that she is
a woman. She may not have the crowd that at one time that Joyce Meyer has, but
that's
her
right.
testimony has touched the lives, and I can tell because of the calls that are on here. And please, just say something to Charlene. Let her know that you love her, that you're on the line for her. And I'm going to go to 501, and the last four digits are 7188. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. This is Laura. This is Charlene's sponsor.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm so grateful for her. I'm so grateful for her. He has blessed me with such an angel. He's been so good. He's so good, Charlene.
Thank you, Jesus.
I have to tell you how proud I am of you.
Thank you.
You were a baby when you came here.
Yeah.
Oh, and you've blossomed into such a beautiful woman. And I can't tell you how proud I am of you.
Thank
and how
you.
Much I love you, Charlene. You know, I'm so close to God that when he blessed me with you, wow, our connection is not just a sponsee and sponsor.
Yeah.
But you're my sister. You're
yeah.
a mother to me. You're everything to me.
Thank you.
And he has huge plans for us, Charlene.
Yeah,
and I can't
yeah.
wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what he has in store for us.
Yeah.
I'm just so proud of you, and I'm so grateful, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the most beautiful
I
woman
love you.
You've placed in my life.
I love you. I love you.
I love you more.
Hey, Amen. Now, give me your name again.
My name is Laura.
Laura, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She's a beautiful
Amen.
Woman.
She sounds like a beautiful woman.
I mean,
and
you can just
you.
See God all over her, for real. She glows. Glory. I give him all the glory. Yes, I do.
Yes. Amen. I can tell even not seeing her face, but just hearing her voice. It's filled with God. It's filled with
mm-hmm.
praise to him, and that's how we know, you know, that
yes.
I'm not able to see her, but I can feel God when she's speaking. I can feel hallelujah him
yes.
Moving in her and directing her and guiding her. And so I just thank God for, you know, you calling in and you helping her in the way that you're helping her and that she's helping you. It sounds like she's helping
yes.
you also.
Oh, it's all him.
Oh, yes.
he uses us. He works
he is so
through us. Yes.
Amen.
Mighty woman of God.
God be the glory. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I love you, Laura.
Amen.
I love you
Amen.
Too, hon.
Praise
okay,
God. Thank you.
And I love you,
day.
Robin.
She can hear you. She can hear you. She's not a lot. God bless you. I'm going to go to the next caller. And it is 708-7064. 708-7064. Are you there, caller? Just say hi to us.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
oh, Lord.
Can I have your name?
My name is Betty Goodall. I'm Charlene's second mom.
Yeah.
And I just called in to say I love you, Charlene. And I'm so proud of you.
I love you, too. I love you, too.
So proud of you.
Thank
God
you.
Is so good, and he's working so many things, and it's you know that it's through his mercy and his grace
yes,
that
Lord.
All things good will come from this. I just want to say that Yolanda knew in her heart of hearts, and she was trying to do things to help women and and people that were addicted to drugs. She was continuing in school, and once she had the car accident and passed on, that you're doing it. And I am so, I can't even tell you how proud I am of you, and I just want you to continue and to know that I love you, that all things in time will be good, and anything that you do for God is going to always turn out good. I love you.
I love you too, Mom.
He will repay you. He will repay you. Yes, he will. Yes, he
will.
That's
my best friend's mom on the phone.
Okay, amen. Amen. We're so happy that you called in, Sister Betty, and thank you for calling and encouraging Charlene. And we're going to go to the next caller, and it's 708.
Wait, did I do this one all right already? 708-2969.
Is the last four numbers, 708-2969. Are you there, caller?
Amen. Okay. Amen. We're going to go to the next caller.
And that is a 501-5775 is the last last four numbers. Are you there, caller? 5775 is the last four numbers. Amen. Well, okay, that's okay. 501-4553. Are you there, caller? Amen. This camera shy, a little camera shy, so they're not saying anything.
Okay.
But that's okay. To God be the glory. And then we have one more caller that I'm going to go to, and it's 773-8108. Are you there, caller? 773-8108.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Well, they don't want to say anything, but
that's
they're
okay.
Here. You have callers that have called in, and they're supporting you. They may not be saying anything, but they're supporting you.
That's
and
right.
They're as you've heard, they're encouraged by just your life, just the life
that's
that you're living now for God, and nobody can encourage you more than the ones that have gone through some of your life with you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
They're there to support you and love you. We thank all the callers for calling in today. We had almost 20 callers to call in. So
amen.
That's how much you are loved and how much people want to support you and encourage you to go on and go on. And you know there's a scripture that is very, very noted today, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. And the scripture says that I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. Hallelujah. So God's hand is on you, Sister Charlene, and he has plans. He has great plans for you.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yes, he does. And your ladder, I decree it, and I know I'm in the company of a lot of people that decree this in your life. Your ladder, along with the word of God, shall be greater than your former. Ha, ha, hallelujah. Your
ladder
is greater than your former. Hallelujah. And we're just going to ask you now to just give us a word of prayer to seal your testimony and to just praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Sister Charlene.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just come to you and we just praise your name and say glory, hallelujah, Lord.
Yes.
Just give you all the glory, Lord God, and give you thanks for this day, Lord God. Another day, Lord God, to glorify you, Lord God. Another day to come into your presence, Lord God. Another day to help someone else, Lord God, with the testimony that you have given me, Lord God. Father God, I just ask, Lord God, that you touch the heart that you wanted to touch, Lord God.
Yes,
that they open their ears and their heart to receive your word, Lord God, to glorify you, Lord God, to know that there is another way to live, Lord God, that there is hope, Lord God, in you, Father God. And Father God, that there are still some out here, Lord God, who will listen and who would help and teach. There's programs, you know, there's opportunities when you don't know which way to go. Just ask him and he will direct your path. He will direct you to the right doors and the right people, Father God. I thank you for this program, Lord God, that you chose, Lord God, to have them to call me, Lord God. That the thing that you've seen inside of me, Lord God, I feel like I was so unworthy, Lord God, but in your eyes, Lord God, I am your child, and I thank you for that, Father God. I thank you for the seed that you put inside of us, Lord God, and the vision that you have given me, Lord God. And I just thank you for it all, Father God, so that I just might go out into the land, Lord God, and bless your people, Father God. I thank you for that testimony, Lord God. I thank you for the callers, Lord God. I thank you for your love that's undying, Father God, the love that I searched for so hard, Lord God. You're out there, you're right there, Lord God. We just want to praise you and give you the glory for this day, Lord God, and each day to come, Father God. I just praise your name, and I just thank you for my journey, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless that radio station, Lord God. Bless this station, Lord God. And all the people that come on, Lord God, you know, finance them, Lord God. Keep them, you know, just keep them out there touching your people, Lord God, doing your work.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord God. I thank you for every caller, Lord God, and let it fall not on the on deaf ears, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Charlene. We have really, if you have anyone that wants to hear the broadcast, they can go to blogtalkradio.com, go to New Destiny Ministries. The host is Adrian Bernard, and you can pull up this program, and she's been on the air for 16 months now. Praise God.
All right. Praise God.
And you can pull up, I don't know how far back it goes, but I think it goes back to all the way to the beginning. But you can listen to this broadcast. You can listen to any of the broadcasts, and I encourage you to do so. She's had awesome men and women of God, and faith comes by hearing. Stay in your word. Stay in your word. Stay in your word, and you won't be deceived. Hallelujah. My husband, my honey, he's gone. He had to go. So we just thank God for the broadcast today. Every Saturday, I told Brother Daryl last week. I said I feel like the day that I got married. I smiled so much that my cheeks felt like they were frozen. They were frozen, but just the joy of the Lord and just hearing what my God is doing in the lives of his people is just, it's just overwhelming. It's just, I thank God for his faithfulness. He's faithful to us. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. You know, God has, you know, I have a new journey. You know, I have a journey. You know, I have a calling, and you know, I was earlier telling you about it, and a vision, and it's called Are You Tired Yet? And it's taking it to the streets. You know, it's taking it to the streets with women and men that are still lost and out there, and you know, we hand out these bags, and we give them a hope. We don't preach to them. We just let them know that, you know, there's a way out. And it's new, and we're just getting it started and off the ground. And I want to put it out here, and I want to put it out there for all the listeners. You know, there is hope, and you know, it's a few of us, the Robins and Miss Laura and Miss Diana and Miss Kim and all of us, and we're going to take it to the streets, you know, and God gave me the vision, and I know he'll complete and finish the vision.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, you know, it's just beautiful how God has just turned it around.
Yes, yes, yes. So your ministry, yes. Are you tired yet? What do you do with it?
Well, actually, you know, I have some few classes that I'm taking, you know, so it would, you know, because it's a nonprofit, but we go out and we put little love things in the bag, you know, that women on deodorant, you know, face cloths, maybe, you know, some, you know, things that I never had when I was sitting on them couches or in abandoned houses, and,
right.
You know, and I minister to them. I don't preach to them. I just minister and tell them, you know, a little bit about my story, whatever God has me tell them, and show them some compassion, show them some love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Show
mm-hmm.
them that somebody does care, somebody do hear you and know your story. There's another way to live.
Yes, 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 yes. So I want to put it out there to the listeners. If you would like to send a donation to help Sister Charlene Davis with her ministry, Are You Tired Yet? And because it's not free, you getting those things that you're giving out to the people.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
If there's some place that if someone
you know, you can actually give me a phone call at 501-442-9625. My address is 6301 Father Tribu, that's TRIBOU, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72205.
Okay, give that one more time.
Phone number 501-442-9625. Address is, my name is Charlene Davis.
Yes.
6301 Father Tribu, TRIBOU, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72205. You know, it'd be nice even if, you know, if you just send prayers and stuff, because we put a prayer in each bag. If you haven't, God put something on your heart to say, we'll put it in the bags for you, and whatever. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do or however you do. Pray for us, and we're out there. We're going out there.
Okay, now give me that, spell that last. You said Father?
Father, F-A-T-H-E-R.
Uh-huh.
T-R-I-B-O-U. Two separate words.
Okay, and Arkansas, what's your zip code?
72205.
Okay. So that's Charlene Davis.
Yes.
At 6301 Father Tribu.
Yes, ma'am.
Little Rock, Arkansas. And the zip is 72205. We give to ministries, and it doesn't have to be anything large. She said,
"That's right."
Prayer. You can type out a prayer or write out a prayer, and they'll put it in the bag and continue to pray for the ministry. Are you tired yet?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
And And we're gonna keep me posted, Sister Charlene.
Yes, ma'am.
With what's happening with your ministry, and we're going to have you on again, and we want you to be able to give us testimony about the ministry that God has given you.
Yes, ma'am.
God is opening up doors, but if you have a donation that you would like to send to New Destiny Ministries. Sister Adrienne is still on. Let me get her back on the line. Sister Adrienne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Give us your post office box because I don't have that in front of me if someone wants to send a donation to your ministry.
Amen. You can send that to New Destiny Ministry, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 5702, and that is Stockton, Stockton, California, and the zip is 95205. Also, you can visit us online at www.newdestinyministries.com. And you can also access this particular segment through the website. You just go on and click the Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear Sister Charlene's testimony again on that website. And you can give online at that website also. So God bless you all.
Amen.
Okay,
could you
do me a favor and repeat that address again?
The address is Post Office Box 5702, and that is Stockton, S-T-O-C as in cat, K as in kite, T-O-N, California. Zip is 95205, and the website, again, is www.newdestiny.com. ministries.plural.com. And the segments also are on our archives at Blog Talk Radio. Again, you can access that at New Destiny Ministries. And these messages are on from the show's inception, so they're there. So you can scroll down at any state and hear in every segment we highlight and say who's on the broadcast, so you certainly have an opportunity to go back and listen to our archive through the men and women that have been on the line. Also, you're not live anymore, Billy. I wanted to do that announcement for Bishop Lewis, but our live time is over. But we also like to let me just say we have 30 minutes of corporate prayer on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time, at 9 a.m. Central time, and 10 a.m. Eastern Standard time. We are every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of prayer. We're on Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard time. That's 3 Central,
Amen.
4 Eastern, Monday through Friday at the same call-in number that you call in for the segment on today. God bless you all.
Amen. Also, I wanted to say that when you go to Blog Talk to listen to the segments in the archive, be sure to put Adrienne Bernard because they're. I mean, you would have to scroll through so many to try to.
So
get
we
her.
Put that's what that you know we noticed that. So you put Adrienne Bernard.
Yes. Bernard. Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
So we put in Adrienne Bernard and it'll show up. Okay. That is
New Destiny Ministries, and then
okay.
Put Adrian Bernard.
Okay. All right. Boy,
all
it was
right.
a blessing. It has been a blessing.
Truly has been a blessing. We just thank God for your testimony
yes.
and thank God for all that he is doing in your life and doing in the lives of the men and the women that will hear and have heard. And that is our prayer, that we're not here for any glory for ourselves, but to glorify
right.
God, because
yes,
he is
ma'am.
So worthy. He is so worthy. He is so worthy of the praise and the honor and the glory. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. So I'm going to end with our theme song. And God bless you, Sister Charlene. And God bless my listeners. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And this song, it really ministers to me, and that's why I've made it the theme song. And the name of it is "I Just Want to Praise You" by Morette Brown. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Listen to the song. Let it minister to you before you hang up. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
I
just want to pray
forever. Come on.
Jesus.